It's Morning in America. Good morning. We'll do some football at the bottom of the hour with one of the world's real experts in football. Right now, let's do more serious business, business in front of us. And we're delighted to be joined by someone we admire very, very much, John Klein. He's the congressman from Minnesota's 2nd District and chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee. He looks at education, works at labor, looks at the NLRB. Good morning, Chairman Klein.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. How are you?
Fine. I appreciate that old title. Thanks very much. Many years ago. Happy New Year to you, sir.
And Happy New Year to you.
Good work set out for yourself. Tell us first. My audience is all riled up about these NLRB recess appointments. We've been doing kind of the constitutional legal basis or lack of same, but what does this mean? What is the attempt here by the Obamas?
Well, what it means is they're going to be able to continue what has proven to be a very pro-big labor agenda. What had happened was the membership of the National Labor Relations Board dropped down to 2 members with the expiration of the recess appointment of Craig Becker on December 31st. And the court has ruled that once the board gets down to 2 members, it's below what they consider a quorum, and they can't issue new regulations and advance the agenda. So by bringing the membership of the board back up above 2, in this case to 5, 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans with these 3 recess appointees, and I understand the argument, and the argument we would make is this really isn't a recess, so there shouldn't be recess appointees, but it allows the board then to continue to advance new regulations to make these kind of rulings that they made with Boeing and the ambush or quickie elections and the posting of posters and all those sorts of things. So it allows that big labor agenda to keep moving forward. And clearly, the administration was under an enormous amount of pressure from big labor to do this.
All right. What can we do? Can we stop these appointments? Do we just have to deal with their rulings, accept the people coming in, and then deal with the rulings after the fact, or what?
Well, I think there will be a challenge. I would guess there would be a court challenge on the constitutionality of doing this. But as you know, Bill, that takes a long time to battle
those
out. But I would anticipate such a thing. We have expressed our concern, to say the least, both the Republicans in the Senate and in the House. I know Mike Enzi over in the Senate was very disturbed about this, and so am I, because the National Labor Relations Board has been around since the National Labor Relations Act back in the 1930s, and it is supposed to be a fair arbiter and make sure there are fair elections and so forth. And instead what's happened, it has moved very, very rapidly to the far left as it's advancing a big labor agenda. It's always partisan because of the nature of how it's set up. It can be slightly Republican or slightly Democrat, but this has been an extraordinarily activist NLRB, and looks like it's going to continue if this is allowed to stand.
And Chairman Klein, what about that NLRB decision, South Carolina, which still rankles, still echoes around?
Yeah, I mean, that was just, you're talking about the Boeing decision.
Yes, sir, the Boeing
Carolina
decision.
Yeah, I mean, just crazy that you have a company like Boeing that decides to build a new plant, brand new plant, open up a new line of production, does so in South Carolina, spends $1 billion on the building, hires over 1,000 employees to get to work, and the NLRB says, oh, no, wait a minute, we think you're doing that in retaliation to union activity or something, and so you've got to move all that stuff back to Washington. Well, I think any of your listeners would say, well, that's just crazy. That's absolutely outrageous.
Right.
And, of course, what happened was that the union in the state of Washington reached an agreement with Boeing and then dropped their complaint.
Right.
And so the activity in South Carolina can continue. But I'm probably more outraged about that than almost anything, because it looks to me like that's big labor using the NLRB, an agency, as muscle in a union fight.
And but so there is some... But there is some relief here. That is, Charleston can go ahead and build, right? They can
Absolutely.
Build this plant. Okay,
that's
good.
Correct.
And is legislation needed? When we talked to Tim Scott and Peter Kersenow and others, they thought that they would be able to get legislation to change this if needed.
Yeah, we in fact passed legislation in the House to fix that. But like a lot of other legislation that's passed the House, it's stacking up over in the black hole of the U.S. Senate.
I was going to fill that in for you. I had a feeling that was the next sentence. Tell us about your education initiatives, my favorite subject, please.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this so much, and with your experience as the Secretary of Education, and I very much appreciate the input that you've given me and the discussions that we've had. As you know, we've looked at this No Child Left Behind law. It's reaching its 10-year anniversary. There are some good things in that law and some very bad things in that law. And we now have the benefit of having the opportunity to look at that and analyze it. And there has been bipartisan agreement that we've got to change that law. The AYP, the Adequate Yearly Progress, mandated federal measurement process, was frankly always going to be unworkable because it insists that 100% of the kids beyond on grade level and reading
right.
math, and it's just not going to be attainable.
That's right.
It was a huge intrusion of the federal government into K-12 education, and we've been looking at ways to make sure that parents are more involved, they have their more choice, that there is accountability for the federal dollars spent, but that our children are getting the best teachers and the best education they can get, and we want to do that by pulling back some of the federal intrusion. And as you know, Bill, we introduced three bills.
Yep.
Earlier. We moved three of them through committee, one of them through the House floor, the charter school bill, very bipartisan bill, passed with strong bipartisan support. And now we've got two more pieces of legislation which we are going to introduce in draft form this week to address teachers and to address this accountability piece of what we're going to do about to replace AYP. I'm pretty pleased with it. We had been working in a very bipartisan way with Mr. Miller and his staff. We've taken a lot of their input into it.
This is George Miller, California?
George Miller from California.
Right, Democrat, right.
Senior Democrat on the committee, the former chairman of the committee. And he's been very engaged in this process. But we reached a point where we just couldn't come to agreement on a couple of issues, and I thought it was better to continue to move forward rather than sit stymied in a negotiation process that may take, who knows, until after the election. So we're going to bring forward this legislation in draft form this week and then take input. We hope to keep the Democrats engaged in the conversation, and we'll bring them forward in the committee, I'm sure, next month. And see if we can't do something to improve the situation.
Well, Miller knows a lot, and I think he's movable. You know better than I on some things. There was some point last year where he expressed his utter frustration with the unions. I remember that. I think you do too. But
yes, that's right. And I want to speak pretty highly of George Miller and his willingness to get engaged in this. He does know a lot. He's been at this for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
He was very instrumental in No Child Left Behind, and he too recognizes that there are things that need to be fixed in that. But
absolutely.
Fundamentally, it's sort of getting down to the Democrats are reluctant to let go of some of the power of the Secretary of Education.
Of course.
And so there's a little bit of an impasse there, but that's a debate worth having. I think we do agree that the law has to be changed, and we'll just keep going from there.
But, Chairman Klein, back to your earlier point, even if you do get this consensus, at least on some points, is there any hope this thing can pass in the Senate?
Well, the Senate passed a version out of their committee, so-called bipartisan bill. But when you talk to individual senators, a couple of them who voted for it to get out of committee have frankly said, yeah, they did it just to get it out of committee, but they wouldn't vote for it like that on the floor.
Oh, yeah. So we could die again in the Senate.
We could, it's worth continuing the discussion, debate. The law has to be changed because in this instance, like the NLRB thing we just talked about, the president has decided to take unilateral action. And he is doing that by allowing Secretary Duncan to issue conditional waivers.
Right.
And which again is an outrage. There's no one who doubts that the secretary has the authority under the law to grant waivers to states. But what he's doing is granting conditional waivers. I will give you a waiver to the AYP provisions or the school improvement provisions if you do these things that I like. And that's an abuse of executive power. And again, I find it astonishing that we have a president who is has chosen to exercise more executive power and ignore the legislative branch. It's kind of imperial presidency on steroids here right now.
Do you give any credence, real quickly, we got 30 seconds, the notion someone said, well, they're looking at their internals, they realize they're going to lose, he's just going to do as much damage as possible?
I don't think that's
no,
right.
Not yet.
I mean, somebody may say that, but I think we're in for a very spirited campaign.
Yes, sir.
And anybody who's taking this stuff for granted, I think is just making a bad mistake.
I'm glad you're leading the battalion you're leading, Chairman Klein. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your service as a Marine. We appreciate your service as a committee chairman, John Klein. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back to take your calls. I see some people who want to disagree with what we were saying earlier. Imagine.
Oh, yeah, good time. I need a good time.